Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg Wilton, and I am delighted to be here with you again as we open up God's Word together and dive into this treasure that is the Holy Scriptures. And we hope and we pray that we are people who are not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the words as well, and that it would be transformative in our lives, that we could actually approach it and say, God, we want you to change us if that is what you desire in my life. So I'm delighted to open up God's Word with you. Let's open to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to be focusing on one particular phrase in verse 6, but for the sake of context, we will read verses 1 through 6. I love being here in Malaysia. I'm starting to consider myself a Bumiputra. Can't you tell that I look Malaysian? You know, I've been here forever. No. Coming on maybe 2 years, and have enjoyed it. And I have to be honest, this is one of my favorite places right here at First Baptist Subang in all of Malaysia. You guys are precious people. You guys are an amazing body. And I want to commend and encourage you and admonish you to continue to be the church. To be the church, let the light of Jesus shine in you and through you. And I pray that God will continue to make an impact for his kingdom through what God is doing with this faith family here. So let's read together in Exodus chapter 19. Beginning of verse 1, it says, on the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him on the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. I believe I was 13 years old at the time. Wow, 20 years ago, 1996, the Olympics. Does anyone remember 96 Olympics? 96 Olympics were special because it was roughly, give or take, about 2 hours south of where I was living at the time. Living in South Carolina, and 2 hours south of Spartanburg, South Carolina, was Atlanta. And the 1996, I think it was right, 96? 96 Olympics. And there was great anticipation, particularly for that region. Anytime that a country gets to host an Olympics, the Olympics becomes even more hyped. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to watch it this summer. I really enjoy all the Olympics and the events that take place. So the opening ceremony, and wow, the one that happened in China, when was that? Was that the last one? That's hard to beat. I don't know if anybody can ever beat that one. That one was spectacular. But I remember in 1996, we were all watching with anticipation about who was going to light the Olympic flame. Because you know how it makes its journey all the way from Greece towards its destination. And we were wondering about who is going to light the flame. And it, for the most part, was kept as a bit of a secret. Some people might have known, at least the people that I knew at the time, we didn't know. And you know who out pops out? Do you remember who that was? Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali. And I remember that, and it was quite a phenomenal moment. And so he was there, and so I just have that picture and that moment in my mind concerning the 96 Olympics. Of all the people that you could choose to represent the United States at that particular time, the committee decided that it would be Muhammad Ali. And for those of you who don't know, he just passed away yesterday. The greatest, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Man, I just enjoyed kind of watching some of those clips that have been popping up about him. Man, he was a trash talker. He was the best of the best when it came to that. And of course, there was controversy, and there's been controversy surrounding him. But they decided, whoever that was, they decided to allow him to represent the United States before the global stage in the Olympics. He was the representative. I am switching subjects off of that, but I am baffled and flabbergasted at how we choose representatives to represent us. Now, there might actually be some first-time guests here, some people who have never been to First Baptist Subang. So the people here, the leadership, entrusted me to be able to, in a way, represent First Baptist Subang. Massimo, I hope I'm going to do that okay today, man. Oh, man, you should be nervous. But you might be a guest here. You know, you're not even, not you don't come here too often, and now you are looking upon me and other people who sang. Thank you for leading us in worship, by the way. And the people who are doing announcements. And that was a great way to tell men to get on board with helping out with Sunday school. I like that. And you're looking, and now you're making a picture, an idea, an interpretation of what First Baptist Subang is all about because of maybe me right now. And when I think about it, it makes me feel a little bit even more nervous right now. So I'm quite befuddled by the election process in the United States right now. It's crazy, isn't it? We'll just call it interesting. And you know, it's not about the fact that you have Trump or Clinton. It's about the fact, for me, that you know when you vote, and those of us who are Americans, we do, contrary to what you might be hearing, at least I do, and most of the Americans I know, we treasure our privilege to vote. When you vote, it's not so much about just saying, I like this person or I like that person. The vote can be much more deeper than that, right? Much more deeper than that, because in essence, it is saying, I want Donald Trump to represent America to the world. I want Hillary Clinton to be our spokesperson and representative. Do you see what I'm saying? So I've been living here for a while, and I like sharing the gospel with anyone, anytime, anywhere. That's what I like to do. I'm glad to hear from our brother who's at MBTS in Penang, and I have the privilege of teaching at the Extension Center in Cheras. But I like to go around, and I like to share the gospel. And naturally, this is a country where there are quite a lot of Muslims, and I get to share the gospel with lots of Muslims everywhere I go. And it's fascinating how they will reply and respond to me, because they'll actually, it's happened a lot of times now. A lot of times when I'm sharing the gospel with anyone, and it's just whoever's in front of me, I share the gospel with them. That's the commands of Christ, so that's what we do. We follow Jesus. Jesus tells us to tell other people about Jesus, so that's what we do. And I'll have people in front of me, and then they'll all of a sudden say, have you heard of, I'm not so sure about that. Have you heard of Zakir Naik? And that's what they'll tell me. They'll say, have you heard of Zakir Naik? Oh, you need to check out Zakir Naik on YouTube. You need to go and listen to some of his YouTube videos. He's very smart. He will be able to answer those questions that you might have. And so I've had that happen so many different times. And finally, I was talking with this one particular person, and he told me that Zakir Naik was here in the country. This is a man, I believe he's from India, and he's become a bit of a sensation according to the Muslim world, and has a talent for responding and defending the Islamic faith. So guess what? I went, and I had this friend that invited me, and I was going to show up with him, and he bailed out on me, so now it's just me versus a whole stadium full of Muslims. And I was like, yes, I'm in my element. Let's go. And so I was hearing, I actually saw and got to talk with a lot of people that I've been seeing all around the city that were there. But what I was fascinated by is that these people, not all of them, but many of them, just place their trust in this man that pretty much all of them have never met personally. Never met personally and say, I'm not so sure. Go and listen to him. He'll tell you all about it. He'll tell you all about it. This is what I want to address this morning. Because yes, we need to function in a world in which others, and we entrust others with the privilege of representing us, whether it be church leadership, whether it be somebody who might be able to articulate a little bit better when it comes to the faith. But I want us to see the importance that the scriptures declare that the people of Israel are a kingdom of priests, and how that has ramifications for you, and how you are right now a representative of Jesus Christ, an ambassador, a spokesperson. People around you are looking at you, and some of you want to deny this as much as possible, but they are looking at you and they are making judgments about Jesus based upon you. They are making judgments about the Christian faith based upon you. This is in essence why the scriptures beautifully declare only one time, and then it's tagged on to it with the New Testament perspective, that the people of Israel, and we believe that can be applicable to those of us who are in faith in Christ, that we are a kingdom of priests. Take a look at this. Go back to the text and notice this one particular verse. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. You know the story of Exodus, right? The story of Exodus, how God is delivering them out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. That God meets with Moses and the burning bush incident, right? And he goes and God sets them free. There's even the 10 plagues that take place. And the hardening of Pharaoh's heart that's happening. And how God is receiving glory and getting the glory in this entire process. And now they are rescued and delivered. And they're on their way. And they cross the Red Sea in a miraculous way. And they're now finally getting back to this place where they will, in essence, establish this unique relationship with God. And as a result, coming out of Egypt, they have three consequences. Yes, I said consequences. What are these consequences? The consequences, as you read, actually with verse 5 and verse 6, is that they are a treasured possession, number one, a kingdom of priests, and really, 2 and 3 are supposed to come in together. It's one and the same. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, if you Google priest right now, what would you get? What would you get? You would actually probably get the Catholic version of a priest. You'd get somebody who's dressed in black and got the little white collar right here, correct? And in fact, if you asked and you did just a simple poll of just people on the street and you asked them, what is a priest? 9 times out of 10, you'd probably get that particular answer, would you not? I don't want us to put our modern understanding of priest upon to this text. In fact, I want us to also see that the priesthood had not yet been established. So there's really not even a mindset, a frame by which even the people of Israel could understand this properly. There are some ways in which they could understand it. They could understand it in the way in which the patriarchs kind of performed already priestly duties, that they sacrificed. There are some sacrificial stories that we hear concerning Abraham, concerning Isaac and Jacob, about sacrifice. So we know that sacrifice is related to the priesthood. And then they also interact with others who are performing the role of priests, all the priests of Egypt, and the multiplicity of gods that they have in Egypt, and how they are, in essence, performing as representatives of those gods of Egypt. And then the priest of Melchizedek as well, that story that we read about in the book of Genesis. Ultimately, we can't really impose what we know now today concerning priests. And we have to back up just a little bit in order to understand maybe what God is trying to help the people of Israel at this moment in salvation history on how they are to function as a kingdom of priests. This is really everything to do with how Israel will represent themselves with respect to the nations. This is why it is a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is a nation, in essence, that would be set apart in a unique way in comparison with other nations. As holy and as priestly, Israel will bring the nations to have a knowledge of the true God in light of all the falsehoods that are circulating. So priesthood, for the Old Testament at least, we can at least provide two meanings. Number one, it means belonging to God in a particular way. That's what it means to be a priest, a kingdom of priests. Belonging to God in a particular, private, personal way. There's this unique relationship, a covenant of sorts, where it's not just loosely this and maybe that. It is a direct connection one to another. It's the same way in which that's symbolic of this wedding ring that I am wearing right now. It is the same way in which there is a devotion, a unique devotion, and when it means that I am married to my wife, Abby, there is devotion to her and to her alone, regardless of the rest of the field, regardless of what else is around. She's my woman. She's my rib in the spirit of Eve. That's what it means, in essence, to be a kingdom of priests. Now, this is also important because some of us are translating that as, okay, to belong to God in a particular way means to be separate. Means to be separate. To separate myself. In a way, it does mean that, but there has to be a reason by which we have become separate and particularly belong to God. Not just so we can go around in our lives, as some of us are prone to do, separate and say, this is us and that's you, and the two will never mix. The reason that God has declared the people of Israel to be a kingdom of priests is that they may serve God and his purposes. And so that's why you see this wonderful interplay, and I hope you're feeling it in your life too. I hope you're seeing it in your life that this is what you have. You have a particular devotion to the Lord, a unique relationship with him. But the cause of that unique relationship with him is not just so that you can be separate to everybody else. It's so that you can serve God's purposes. And God's purposes is that he would be a blessing to the whole world. Because in the other sense of this, it's kind of like the first. The second is being used by God for a particular purpose. A special purpose. The purpose of God. A priest doesn't all of a sudden create in their own minds and say, okay, I'm going to create the purposes by which I'm designed. The priest exists to have this unique relationship with God so that you may be used for his purposes. That's the spirit of Genesis chapter 12 and the patriarch Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, I believe, particularly with the emphasis on verse 3, where it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So this is, in essence, how we see a kingdom of priests, at least from the Old Testament perspective. However, Israel's commanded to be a kingdom of priests, and it's met primarily with failure. If anybody knows Exodus, then you know Exodus 32. You know what takes place immediately at the mountain. You know what takes place at that context. I mean, guys, they just experienced the mighty hand of God delivering them from Pharaoh out of Egypt with signs and wonders and miracles. And they are receiving this special covenant with the Lord. And they immediately stumble and fall. That sounds like me on a Monday. That sounds like me on a Monday. Sounds like me on a Sunday night. All pumped up and jacked up because of all that I felt in God's presence at a church such as this. And man, Monday hits me like a ton of bricks. Back to the grind. You see, this is really important for you to hear this. The failure, that is the golden calf, right? The golden calf. They're waiting for Moses. What's become of this Moses? Aaron, hey, come over here. Make for us an image, an idol, so we can worship that. And that's what takes place. And man, it's not a good picture. If you've never read that story, read it. It's wonderful. Because it's not happening to you, but it reflects us. I want to bring that up because this is really important from an Old Testament perspective. If being a kingdom of priests only means belonging to God, what is that? Good behavior? And being used by God, what is that? Good works? Then Israel becomes a laughingstock to the nations because of their obvious failure to do so. So remember what I said about a kingdom of priests, especially from the Old Testament perspective, belonging to God and being used by God for a special purpose. If that's all it was about, you and I are pathetic. And I say that with all love in my heart, because it's us. Because we can't do it. Man, we're struggling to do it, are we not? We want to represent God so well. But have any of you failed in representing God? Have any of you failed with your neighbor? And you failed when you're driving? I'm awful. I need to pray and ask forgiveness for that one. Have any of you failed with your family? How about your sons and your daughters? You failing with them? You failing with the overall perception of how you are actually representing First Baptist Subang right now? You see, this is really important for us to see because it drives us to Jesus. Amen? It drives us to Jesus. If all a kingdom of priests meant was good behavior and good works, then we are the laughing stock of Malaysia. That's what we are. People should ridicule us and make fun of us. But that's not where a kingdom of priests ends. This is why a kingdom of priests, and this is where we're going to start to close right here. This is why a kingdom of priests needs to be seen from a New Testament perspective. A New Testament perspective. How do we see this? I'm just going to give you these two points right here. Christ is the fulfillment of God's intention for Israel. When I read Genesis 12, and I'm reading about Abram becoming Abraham, I'm seeing Jesus as the fulfillment of that statement. And when I am reading the three consequences right there in Exodus 19 in verse 5 and verse 6, that we are a treasured possession, that we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, I ultimately see its fulfillment in Christ. He is the treasured possession. He is the kingdom of priests and enable us to do likewise. And he is that holy nation because we are not holy, but Jesus is holy and he imputes his righteousness upon those who believe and follow him. And because he is holy, we therefore are holy. That's why we follow Jesus. So this is why then we get to this last point here. Number two, the church in Christ is the kingdom of priests for the sake of the nations. The church is the true final Israel, called to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a parallel of being called out of slavery in Exodus and coming now to the Mount of God. Now there's this parallel that we see, that wonderful passage in 1 Peter, right? Some of you already knew all about it. 1 Peter, where it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy." So my friends, I'm issuing all of you who are in Christ a challenge today that is reflective of Scripture, both in the old and in the new. Be a kingdom of priests. You may not shirk that responsibility, my friends. You may not say that that is not for you. You and I have been called to be a kingdom of priests. And when we are a kingdom of priests, we proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you want to know why God has saved you? Because he loves you. Do you want to know why God has saved you? Because he loves others. Do you see that? Do you see that? Are you ready for that challenge in your lives? Now, it is, in a sense, about good behavior and good works, but we point to Jesus in all of our lives. That's what we do. Some of you are like, "Man, that's a tough task." Yes, it is. It's actually impossible, but Christ in you can fulfill it. Christ in you, who is the hope of glory, he can fulfill it. Do you know why? That's why it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. You must trust upon Jesus and be saved. Repent of your sin and turn to God. Give your life to him. Because when you do that, Jesus is your representative and you may properly function as a kingdom of priests. Can we close in prayer? Father, in just a second, we're going to close and have a time of song. And Father, what we want to do is we want to reflect just for a moment. God, I'm asking every individual here right now to think about who's representing them. In the political sphere, right now, who's representing them? Who's really representing them when it comes to their family name? How are they representing the company that they work for or that they own? How are they representing themselves in their neighborhood? Some of them here, Lord, have been in their neighborhood only just for a while. And yet there are others who've been in their neighborhood for quite a long time. Lord, I'm asking them to reflect right now on how they represent themselves in their neighborhood. But ultimately, to ask that question, who's representing us? Father, I know that if we come before you and we don't have Jesus as our representative, as our mediator, we would not be able to stand in your presence because of our sin and because of our blatant disregard to follow you and to obey you. We are just like the people of the golden calf. But God, I pray that right now, each person in the quietness of their own heart has an opportunity to give thanks to you, God, for sending Jesus. That we have a mediator. And that we have someone who represents us before you. And his righteousness is now our righteousness. Not for any good works we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And Father, finally in this prayer right now, for those in this room that are not certain of their relationship with Jesus, that they would call upon you and that they would be saved. That they can do that in the quietness of their own heart, speak to you in a quiet prayer, call upon you, God, and ask you to save them. You are faithful to do that. And Father, I pray that you would give them the courage to tell someone about that immediately, so that this precious, wonderful church body can celebrate with them about how their lives have been changed and they are now part of this kingdom of priests. We give you thanks, Jesus, for your word. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Dr. Greg Milton. I think he's challenged us as a church to remember that we by ourselves will not be able to do it if you do not have Christ in our lives. And when we have Christ in our lives, we are able to do all the things that are impossible in our own minds. So let's all rise and sing the last closing song. Shout to the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do. Ask him to be in our lives.
To the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Church, let us be reminded that we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Now may our God and Father Himself, our Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Amen. Please be seated.